From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Facing Death Through the Living Christ, part of his series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The Lamb is the light thereof. Quietly contemplate the Lamb as the light of heaven. Light in Scripture is the emblem of joy. The joy of the saints in heaven is comprised in this: Jesus chose us, loved us, bought us, cleansed us, robed us, kept us, glorified us. We are here entirely through the Lord Jesus. Each one of these thoughts shall be to them like a cluster of the grapes of Eshcol. Light is also the cause of beauty. Naught of beauty is left when light is gone. Without light, no radiance flashes from the sapphire, no peaceful ray proceeds from the pearl. And thus all the beauty of the saints above comes from Jesus. As planets, they reflect the light of the Sun of Righteousness. They live as beams proceeding from the central orb. If He withdrew, they must die. If His glory were veiled, their glory must expire. Light is also the emblem of knowledge. In heaven our knowledge will be perfect, but the Lord Jesus Himself will be the fountain of it. Dark providences never understood before will then be clearly seen, and all that puzzles us now will become plain to us in the light of the Lamb. Oh, what unfoldings there will be, and what glorifying of the God of love! Light also means manifestation. Light manifests. In this world it does not yet appear what we shall be. God's people are a hidden people. But when Christ receives His people into heaven, He will touch them with the wand of His own love, and change them into the image of His manifested glory. They were poor and wretched, but what a transformation! They were stained with sin, but one touch of His finger, and they are bright as the sun and clear as crystal. Oh, what a manifestation! All this proceeds from the exalted Lamb. Whatever there may be of effulgent splendor, Jesus shall be the center and soul of it all. Oh, to be present and to see Him in His own light, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Oh, worship the King. Whose robe heads to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor by thee to fail. Thy mercies are tender,
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. Joshua chapter 3 records Israel's passage of the Jordan River. Before the people were the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. According to God's command, as soon as the priests' feet entered the river, the waters of Jordan were cut off so that the people might pass through on dry ground. Very often, the Jordan is used as a picture of death. And in the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will show how this passage illustrates the Christian's encounter with the last enemy. The ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Since he has already passed through death and conquered it by his resurrection, he is able to bring his people safely through death's cold stream. In approaching this subject, Dr. Cairns first emphasizes the solemn truth that all of us live in the sight of Jordan. The shadow of death hangs over everything in life. Now, to begin this message, Facing Death Through the Living Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, field, and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Compared with the Amazon or the Mississippi or the Hudson, the Jordan isn't very much of a river. In length, volume, and navigability, it seems insignificant beside the Yangtze, the Rhine, or the Nile. Not much of a river at all. In other ways, however, it surpasses all these great waterways of the world. as a political boundary and as a lifeline to the adjacent communities, Jordan stands in the first rank of importance. But it's for its mystical significance that Jordan is most important of all. Because the River Jordan has been for many, many, many centuries, for millennia, it has been a symbol of death. Jeremiah asked the question in chapter 12 and verse 5 of his prophecy, "How wilt thou do in the swellings of Jordan?" And what he meant was, how will you do in the hour of your death? Jordan, a symbol of death. Perhaps the reason for this significance for the River Jordan is that the swelling of Jordan took place at the time of harvest. And of course, death is the time when we begin to reap the seed of our lives. Perhaps the significance is that for the children of Israel, Jordan was the last barrier to be crossed before they entered into the land of Canaan. Now, despite the fact that the Jordan was usually a very insignificant river as rivers go, not that at any time it would have been easy to get a nation across it, but it was really not much of a river in natural terms. Despite that fact, it was made almost impassable for the children of Israel because it was in full flood when the children of Israel came to it. Normally, the existence of such a barrier would have given a lot of comfort to the defenders of the city of Jericho as they thought of an army massing on the other side of the river, because it would have needed immense skill, great feats of engineering, to be able to bring not only an army but a nation across that river while it was in spate. However, the people of Jericho felt no such comfort, and they were locked up tight in their walled city because they had heard how the Lord had dried up not only a river but the Red Sea to let his people cross on their journey out of Egypt, and they felt that Jordan posed no problem to him. And in that they were right. After lodging before the river for a time, the children of Israel followed their priests and their Levites as they bore the ark of God toward the waters. And as soon as the feet of the priests who were bearing the ark of the Lord stood in the river, the Lord dammed the waters so that they stood up like a mighty wall on one side, while the river drained off into the Dead Sea on the other side. And when the land was clear before them, having made the riverbed dry, the Lord commanded his people to pass over, which they did straight away. Now, all this is ancient history, but it's more than history. It's spiritual instruction for the people of God. Remember that Jordan is, quite scripturally, the symbol of death. Remember that that Ark of the Covenant is one of the greatest emblems in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to do a study about the Ark in any detail this morning, but remember what it was. The Ark typified Christ in his humanity and in his deity, for it was made of shittim wood, that almost incorruptible wood, covered with the gold that throughout the typology of the tabernacle bespeaks deity. It speaks of the deity and the humanity of Christ. In the ark, there were the tables of the law. Remember that the law was given to Moses. And as he came down from the mount and he heard the sounds of Israel's apostasy, he broke the tables of the law. The law first broken in the hand of man. Then Deuteronomy 10 tells us how the Lord provided two more tables of the law. And these were kept intact in the Ark of the Covenant. What a picture! In the hand of man, the law broken. In Jesus Christ, the law kept perfectly. An emblem of His absolute righteous obedience. And then that ark was covered with the golden mercy seat, sprinkled on the Day of Atonement with the blood of the slain lamb. It is, of course, a picture of Christ's propitiation. Here is one of the most complete types of the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. The ark, Christ, who first fulfilled the law of God for us. Christ, who then propitiated the wrath of God for us. Christ, who is God manifested in the flesh, the only mediator, the only redeemer, and the only Savior. That, in summary form, is the meaning of the emblem of the ark. Now keep all that in mind. Jordan, the symbol of death. The ark, the emblem or the type of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Now reread the whole story with these things in mind, and you will find that just as the children of Israel passed over Jordan dry shod, because of the presence of the priest bearing the ark, so we pass through death unscathed because our great forerunner and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has preceded us into its chilling waters and dried them up to give us free passage to the other side. In summary, that is the message I want to leave with you from Joshua chapter 3 this morning. I want us to think of a solemn theme, facing death. But I want us to make it a joyful theme, facing death through the living Christ. For that is the message of our Bible reading. First of all, we will notice that we all lodge in the sight of Jordan. Verse 1 of chapter 3 says that the children of Israel removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and Joshua and all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. They lodged there in sight of Jordan before they passed over. And that sentence could be written over every one of us this morning. We lodge in sight of the Jordan of death before we pass over. Whatever our age, whatever our occupation, we are today merely lodging. We are not here forever. Not only so, we are not lodging far from the final crossing from this life into the life which is to come. We are daily in sight of the Jordan. Not only daily, but moment by moment, we are in sight of the Jordan. We cannot take a step without it being a step nearer to that final boundary line. We cannot breathe one breath, but it is one less that we will have to breathe. Our heart never pumps once, but it is one less time it is going to pump. There is not a second ticks off the clock, but it is a second less for us to lodge this side of Jordan. We are lodging in the sight of Jordan. And I tell you, that is something that we ought never Whether we are young or old, whether we are healthy or infirm, that is something we ought never to forget. We read in 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, that David said, "As the Lord liveth, and thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." David recognized something. He was forced to recognize it by the particular circumstances in which he found himself. But he recognized something that every man, woman, and child among us would do well to recognize. There is never more than a step between us and death. We are lodging in sight of Jordan.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.